Birmingham Speedway pulls off a dandy doubleheader, and now it's off to Bristol. These are our top stories on this edition of Fast Talk.
Fast Talk is presented by Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. Be part of the action at ToyotaRacingUSA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. Now here's the host of Fast Talk, Doug Rice.
Greetings and welcome to the show. I'm Doug Rice along with Alexis Erickson. We'll be joined shortly by Brad Gilley as we break down the doubleheader action from Rockingham with the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series and the O'Reilly Auto Parts Series. And we'll start peeking ahead to Bristol Motor Speedway, where PRN will have the broadcast this coming weekend. So a lot of ground to cover. Alexis, I know you have a young son, so Easter weekends can be a challenge. Hunting Easter eggs and chasing down bunnies.
Yeah. 4-year-olds love to hunt Easter eggs, let me tell you. Or at least my 4-year-old does. I know that to be true. He's so funny. We'll hide Easter eggs and then he'll open them, find them all, and he'll open them all up and then he'll say, "Mommy, will you hide them again?" And so, yeah, it was a lot of that. Luckily, we had great weather here in the Carolinas on Saturday. And so we did all that with family, in-laws, all that on Saturday. Sunday was a bit rainy. We kind of kept it close to the house and indoors, but overall a great Easter weekend. How was yours?
When you rehide the Easter eggs, do you put more candy in them?
No. Nope, he'll find just an empty egg.
He's fine with that.
Oh, he's fine with that, yeah.
My Easter weekend was splendid. I had to watch some of the truck race later. I had to DVR it. I had a Good Friday service that I was gone for that. But it was a great weekend. Glad to be back in here. And, you know, you talk about Easter eggs, and that's become a thing in movies and in movie reviews.
Oh, yeah, you know, different kind of Easter eggs, sure.
Hidden Easter eggs in the movies. I almost feel like in the O'Reilly Auto Parts series, and I'm still wrapping my arms around calling it that.
We all
just
are.
Just being
I
honest,
think.
Folks.
Yep.
I was with a group. We were watching the race Saturday, and all my buddies still call it the Bush series.
So, right.
they've wiped out 3 or 4 sponsors since then. But I'm watching that, and there are a couple, almost Easter eggs in that field in the sense that I think there are drivers there that we're going to be talking about for a long time. They're foreshadowing greatness. One of them is William Sawalich, who won it. And the other one might just be Raja Karu.
I knew you were going to say Raja, yeah. I think, obviously, huge, huge day for William Sawalich. He got his very first win at Rockingham this past weekend. Obviously, an incredible talent. He won multiple races in the ARCA series, but it took him a little while to kind of get started in the O'Reilly Auto Parts series. I think this is his second year with Joe Gibbs Racing in that ride. And, is the case for a lot of rookies, it takes some time to get up to speed, but he finally got the proverbial monkey off of his back and made it to victory lane.
And one, once he took the lead over the last 70 laps or so, in pretty convincing fashion. Maybe the biggest shock of the day for me wasn't that as I watched that race unfold, Justin Allgaier was in the picture, but he wasn't the picture.
Yeah.
And we've gotten so used to seeing that this year that the 7 car is going to be leading all the time. He was there, but he was never a real threat, I didn't feel like.
Well, I mean, he has had an incredible season when you just think about what he's been able to do. I think 3 wins or a top 5 in the last 5 races, and he just continues to extend his incredible points lead, which I think is like 130-something. Don't quote me on that. It's close to that points lead that he has right now. But you're right. He looked a little bit more human this past weekend at Rockingham, even though he was still able to come home with the third place finish. He never really was a threat for that lead and for that win. But, you know, obviously William Sawalich getting that win for Joe Gibbs Racing broke, I think it was, what, a 5-race win streak, right, for JRM, keeping intact, I believe, a 6-race win streak that Joe Gibbs Racing, holds the record for. So it was a big day for Joe Gibbs Racing, for William Sawalich. And, you know, obviously JRM is still like the 800-pound gorilla, I think, in the room.
Oh, I think the championship goes through
it
there.
It has to.
And most
really
likely through Allgaier.
Yes. Yeah.
And just casual observation, watching that series, And I know for some of our listeners, we don't talk a lot about this series because this is a Cup-centric show. I think he might be a tick better driver than everybody else.
Yeah, I mean,
I think his experience helps him.
That's the thing. He has a wealth of experience. I mean, you're talking about a guy who has run in the Cup Series before, had, you know, a little bit of experience in the Cup Series, has been in the O'Reilly Series. I don't even know how long, but seems like forever.
It does.
You know, he's one of those journeyman O'Reilly Auto Parts Series racing drivers that just is making a career for himself in that series. And that is kind of few and far between also. You don't normally see that. You typically see a driver, you know, have a couple years in that series and then either phase out or move on up to the Cup Series. And he's been able to be a great, great success in that lower level series.
And you know, Alexis, normally when you describe somebody as a journeyman, they've just kind of bumped along. Maybe they've had a little bit of success, whether it's a journeyman NFL quarterback or a race car driver. Yeah, usually in the NFL, it means you've been on six teams and you've never done much. Allgaier's had a lot of success
in
that series.
He absolutely has.
He's a championship and 30 race wins.
Yep, absolutely. He has. I mean, and you have to look at him as one of, in my opinion, the all-time greats in that series. You know, he's been able to just really make a career out of that, which a lot of guys have not been able to do.
And I think he's made a really nice career out of
it. He has.
Driving for JRM, you've won a championship. You've won a lot of races. He's home on Sundays.
I was going to say, he gets Sundays off, you know, to spend with his family. Yeah, absolutely.
And that's a big plus. So, but congratulations to William Swalich for getting his first win down at Rockingham. And, of course, that was the Saturday race. Going back a little bit further in time to the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series, Corey Heim is on a tear. He dominated the race, but he had to fight over the last lap to win the thing.
Yeah, Caden Honeycutt was putting on, you know, quite a performance there in the waning laps, and it looked like because of lap traffic and some of the things that were happening that he might actually be able to get, you know, one on Corey. But at the when it was all said and done, the checker flag flew. It was Corey Heim who took the win again. But yeah, Caden Honeycutt was right there,
and I like this, and I know we've talked about it a little bit before. I like the way that this is set up. Easter weekend, they tried it at Bristol a couple of times. It lacked zip. The attendance was meh because people have other things they're doing on Easter weekend. And to give this a Friday and Saturday platform with just these series at Rockingham, which is kind of cool, it works. Don't tinker with this formula. Just keep it like it is.
No, I agree. I think there's a certain vibe to the weekend. I think when you put the O'Reilly Series and the Truck Series in the spotlight, it allows them to shine way more than they ever could when their companion weekend with the Cup Series. You know, and I say it too, Cup Series, they need to have weekends off. They're so few and far between that even, you know, when it's a holiday, and that's the reason why. That's great. I'm glad that the Cup Series drivers were able to take the weekend. But Rockingham is a fantastic event, I think, for those lower level series. The fans certainly had a great time. They showed up.
Yeah, they did. For both days.
Yeah, for both days, which is great to see because you don't typically see that for the lower level series when it's a companion weekend.
No, you don't. And that was refreshing. It was something to do. This is racing country. It's Sand Hills in North Carolina. It's not a big seat capacity deal. If you put 20,000 people in there, it looks really nice.
Yeah.
And sometimes those optics are more important. Speaking of optics, I thought Kyle Petty looked awesome. He was on TV a bunch during the O'Reilly race.
He was, yeah.
I think he was hanging out on top of Allgaier's pit box.
He was.
Because they had all kind of Arby's
there
stuff.
Was Arby's everywhere, yeah. Yeah, no, it was great to see Kyle on TV. You know, he had a story, too, that he did for the CW about an Amtrak train that I think comes from Raleigh and goes straight to Rockingham, and that, you know, a bunch of fans got on to attend the race. And I thought that was really cool, but probably I'm a little bit biased. My father worked for Amtrak for about 30 years.
Yeah, so. You should be.
But I thought that was a very cool story. And obviously, Kyle thought it was really cool, too, and something he's never experienced before. So it was great to see Kyle. I think he'll be with us again next Monday, and he can tell us a little bit about it.
Obviously, he's a frequent co-host on here. And I would bet when whoever the TV executives are that run that for the CW sit down and look at that, they're going, how can we get him back?
Yeah, for sure. I hope so.
How can we get that guy back on television?
Yep.
Because he's that good.
He's infectious.
Yeah. Okay.
No, he is.
I think he is.
Yeah. He is. Yeah. His demeanor, his personality, everything that he does, he just makes you want more.
No, there's a real warmth about that.
Yeah.
So I just thought, okay, I could stand some. I'm prejudiced.
We are, of course.
You know, Kyle works on the show with us.
Yeah.
He's a friend to everybody here at the network. He's a co-host on another show that PRN has. So there's a lot of reason, but I just thought his contribution was really good and added a layer to that broadcast that I didn't know that it needed until he was on there.
Yeah, I agree 1,000%. And I hope it does spark, the higher-ups at CW to go, maybe we should ask him back.
We're going to hand out some superlatives for the first 7 races of the year, and we'll also be joined by Brad Gilley. Stick with us here on Fast Talk.
What makes Toyota Racing Toyota Racing? It's not just how we drive, it's why we drive. Bubba Wallace drives with resilience, building himself back up with a Toyota team that never lets him stay down. Jade Avedisian drives with determination to be faster, sharper, every lap, every day. Christopher Bell drives with inspiration, because when talent meets the perfect team, you don't just win, you inspire what comes next. Toyota Racing, your race, your story. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
We work hard to keep our cars looking great on the outside, but engine components need our attention too. That's where you can trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant to disperse carbon buildup in your engine and fuel system. Keep your car or truck running at its peak. By soaking into the metal of your engine, Z-Max Micro Lubricant improves performance, extends engine life, and reduces emissions. Trust the many customers who've said, "Thanks for saving my engine." Find out more at zmax.com or follow us on Facebook and X.
This is Ryan Preece, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
In addition to traditional summer camp, Victory Junction also hosts family weekends, partner programs, and day camps. And the Victory Junction Outreach Program takes camp fun beyond our gates to children at hospitals and partner sites throughout North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia. Victory Junction makes the impossible accessible.
This is a place that needs to be here 50 years from now, 100 years from now. We are never going to run out of kids that can benefit from Victory Junction.
Discover how you can get involved at victoryjunction.org.
Chase Elliott on his relationship with Napa.
It has fit for your 13th year together. They've been a great partner. I think as time goes on, those relationships get better if you're lucky enough to have a partner for that length of time, because they get to know you, you get to know them, we figure out what works for each other, and we can really start pulling the rope in the same direction. And I think that that's where our relationship has really thrived the most.
NASCAR Network Radio drives business.
Appreciate you joining us on this edition of Fast Talk. I'm Doug Rice with Alexis Erickson in studio. And from Fort Worth, Texas, Brad Gilley joins us. Brad, trust that you had a nice Easter weekend and all went well for the Gilley clan down there.
I had an awesome Easter weekend. We had a lot of fun, did a lot of projects. For both Kathleen and I, it was a 4-day weekend. So I got to clean out the garage. We got to do yard work, do a lot of things, spend some time with friends on Saturday. Got a nice brunch with my parents after church yesterday and loved it.
Is it even Easter weekend if you don't clean out the garage? I mean, I feel like that's it's just something that people typically do. Spring cleaning and such.
I was 1 weekend ahead of that.
Okay.
Yeah, but it was in that vicinity,
sure.
That you zero in on the garage and get going on it. And in 6 months, it'll need it again.
It's amazing how that happens, isn't it?
Defies nature. Brad, I know you've already talked a lot about what went on at Rockingham. Share with Alexis and I in the group your 30,000-foot view of what transpired down in the Sandhills this weekend.
I thought it was really cool. This is my overall takeaway. Aside from the fact that Rockingham on Easter weekend should become a new NASCAR tradition, what we got to see this weekend was the future of our sport on full display. And I know Corey Heim's already a champion in the Truck Series. He's not even running full-time for points, even though he's leading the standings after missing two races. He's the future of our sport. Caden Honeycutt, a teammate who battled him right down to the wire, is the future of our sport. William Sawalich, who picked up his first career victory in the O'Reilly Series. The future of our sport. Then you look behind him. You see Rajah Caruth with the top five finish. Future of our sport. Corey Day, who dominated the opening half of that race at Rockingham on Saturday. Future of our sport. They were truly on display, and it was such a joy and pleasure to watch.
The one with Alexis and I referred to him earlier, they're sort of the hidden Easter eggs. The vast majority of the public is not aware of these people yet.
Yeah.
Maybe Corey Heim because of the great success he had last year, but they will. As they move up the ladder, as they win more, as they get more media time, we're going to be aware of the names that Brad just mentioned.
Yeah, and I think, when you're talking specifically about like Rajah, I think sometimes that can get a bit confusing because when you look at his season, he's running a full season, but he's running for two separate race teams. So some weekends he's with JRM, some weekends he's with Jordan Anderson. But I think he's definitely one to watch. Obviously, when he's in that 88, that's arguably better equipment, certainly, and he's going to have better finishes. But I think he's one to watch all season long.
I agree with you. I think there are two things that surprised me this year of drivers that don't have full-time gigs, and he's one of them. The other one is obviously Corey Heim. I don't know how and in what universe that you live, Brad, that a guy that had unprecedented success last year is having to piecemeal a deal together.
I agree.
It's unfathomable to me.
Go back a couple of years and when he ran his first cup race with 2311, and it was actually a Mobil 1 sponsored car. It was black with gold lettering because of an anniversary. And I mean, I remember all these things vividly. This is the race with five overtime restarts. Corey Heim is like running right up near the top 10 and doing it quietly, not spectacularly, just putting his head down and driving. And he goes into a season in the Truck Series where he actually misses a race, but has all but one race with single digit finishes and just an insane amount of talent and really a high racing IQ. And I think that's what impresses me the most. He's a very quiet, calm guy, not flashy. Everything he does, he speaks with that race car, and he speaks very loudly with it in a good way.
Well, the day will come that we'll be on this show sometime down the future talking about him being in a quality cup ride. Maybe yeah. Sooner rather than later, because I get the feeling that there's going to be a lot of shuffling at the end of this year, that people that have been in spots for a long time are going to be moved around, and there's going to be some openings created. Before we leave this piece, and Brad, I'll start here with you. We wouldn't do justice to the weekend if we didn't mention the media star, Cletus McFarland, who ran in both the ARCA race, I got to give him props there, and in the NASCAR O'Reilly Auto Parts Series. And there's been so much chatter, and I kind of feel for Cletus in a little bit about how hard he's been dumped on by people. Maybe most of it's deservedly, maybe some of it's deserved, but the harshness that he has been dealt leading into this race, it wasn't deserved, I don't think.
I think the thing that we should take away from that, though, is how he's met that challenge in the public, as far as like maybe not necessarily on the racetrack, but, when he's had his interviews and people have basically said to his face, I mean, Kyle Petty had an interview with him before the race and said, look, I'm one of the guys that said you shouldn't be here. And when the race was over, he then said, well, you've got me eating a little bit of crow. So, I think, Cletus is certainly a personality. He knows how to be in the media. He knows how to handle that. And for the most part, I think he's handled that part of it really well.
You made me laugh when you said in the public. That reminds me of that Ron White bit. I wasn't drunk in the public.
In the public.
Yeah. I was drunk in the bar. They threw me into the public.
Yep. That's funny.
Cletus got thrown into the public, Brad.
He did.
And I get it, I understand it, but just the human part of me felt like, okay, enough.
So my take is, and this goes with anyone, I don't care how you get here. I don't care if you've got your own money, if you got daddy's money, or you got a ton of talent. What you do when you get here is what defines you, first and foremost. And my thought in talking about Cletus on Friday before the race weekend was, I agree with everyone in the sport who says, how does he get approved to run Rockingham Speedway when you have drivers with, you know, close to or well over 100 races under their belt who can only run a Martinsville, for example? I don't disagree with that at all. But my take was, look, I hope he doesn't wreck out on lap 20. I don't want to see that. I also don't want to see him finish top 10. I want to see him struggle because this is hard. And just because people are driving cars, and most of us drive cars to get to work every day, what they do on Saturday and Sunday and on Friday night is way different than what we do. I want him to get out of the car and say, this is hard. And guess what he did after finishing 32nd? Said, this is the hardest thing I've ever done. And I think that speaks volumes. So however this goes is how it goes. The man's got 4.67 million YouTube subscribers. I get it. I totally get it. But it's also not easy, and I'm not expecting a top five finish out of him.
There's a balance there between the YouTube people that he has following, and compare that to the audience for a regular O'Reilly race of a 1 million plus.
Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. That's the business side of this.
Sure.
Because we're getting a chunk of his 4 million by being in it. And I know that you're saying, well, this kid that drove the short tracks in Virginia for 27 years deserves a break too. That is true also.
Yes. I mean, you have to talk about the business part of it, right? You have to bring that up. It is a factor, and it is certainly one that is being weighed when these considerations are taking place. But I agree with Brad wholeheartedly. I mean, I thought his interview that he gave after the race was refreshing. He's like, look, I made a couple bonehead moves. I did this. I did that. It was really hard. You know, if I came back tomorrow, you know, Kyle Petty asked him, if you came back tomorrow, would you be able to be better because of the experience you gained today? And he said, I don't know, maybe I could get, you know, like a top 20 or something. But I think he's very realistic about what his goals are and what they should be.
And he had a nice day on Friday. He went out and ran fourth, I think, in the ARCA race.
Yep,
now, admittedly, that's ARCA. That's not where he was. But he knew enough to get around and finish fourth and beat 18 other guys.
Absolutely.
So, all right, that's our take on that. We'll start handing out some grades and giving some evaluations after the first seven races of the NASCAR Cup season.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
Hey, race fans, we can't wait to see you right here at New Hampshire Motor Speedway for a wicked fast, wicked fun weekend this August as we host New England's only NASCAR Cup Series weekend. Live performances, driver appearances. Don't forget to keep an eye on NHMS.com as we count down to New England's only NASCAR Cup weekend, August 21st through the 23rd, right here at New Hampshire Motor Speedway, New England's big track, where it's always about family, friends, and fun.
This is Daniel Suarez, and you're listening to the PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
This April at Bristol, 750 horsepower meets soft tires. More power, less grip. Drivers wrestling machines that don't want to be tamed. When the engines roar and the rubber wears, you don't get calm, you get chaos. Slide jobs, fenders bending, tempers rising. It's the Food City 500 weekend, April 10th through the 12th at Bristol Motor Speedway. And it's where race fans will be. Bring yourself, bring your friends, bring your cooler. Just don't blink. It's not just a race.
It's Bristol, baby! I'm Andrew Kurland, along with David Stiles, here to give you the latest NASCAR news and opinions on PRN's Garage Pass. Would you give Braxton the bumper?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, we've raced against each other a couple times, and I've been really fair with him and really clean with him. He might get stuck on the outside, and I got to build a gap because I see him out there, so I got to build a gap for two guys with people behind me to let him in, you know? So I'm feeling some bumpers from behind to try to help him.
With Garage Pass, you won't miss a moment from green to checkered flag.
Totally go off script here for a minute, and I'm going to blame producer David Stiles because he put this in my head. I so enjoyed watching the launch.
Oh, me too.
From Cape Canaveral.
Me too.
Artemis 2. It put me back as Doug Rice, 10-year-old, sitting on the couch watching the Gemini missions leave.
Yeah.
And I literally, the hair on my arm stood up. I got chills. It was just cathartic as heck.
I really enjoyed it because, number one, I just enjoyed it from a personal standpoint, but I got to watch it through my son's eyes, a 4-year-old who's seeing a rocket launch for real, and the whole countdown. I mean, we had the iPad out during dinner and had it, you know, because it was a dinner time launch, basically. We had it there on the NASA stream and watched it while we were eating dinner and talking about our day. And, you know, those things that, you know, a lot of other people, you know, around right. the world are also watching at the same time. It's, you know, it's a sense of togetherness you don't typically get.
No, Brad, did you take it in? And if so, thoughts about it?
I did not take it in live, but these are my thoughts about it. My gosh, technology is amazing. And to see the images and the video in such high resolution that are coming out of that is just incredible. I've seen some photographs where, I mean, you can just literally see the fire and flames coming out of the rocket as that's leaving the launching pad that are just some of the most amazingly moving things that you've ever seen.
My take on it, oddly enough, and I agree with everything Brad just said, it has nothing to do with technology. I'm sitting there watching this thinking of all of the hundreds of thousands of hours of prep that went into this, all the people it took to get that rocket on it. And then for one tiny moment in this country, red people, blue people, all people were sitting there wanting to see that rocket get off that pad, okay, and get into outer space and go circle the moon. And I just gave myself chills.
So, and I'm sure that you were because of what you have lived through.
Right.
Were you nervous? Like,
oh, absolutely.
Physically, like, could you physically yeah. feel nervousness? I could. Yeah. And I was like, you know, and I don't have recollections of past launches that didn't go the way mm-hmm. they were planned. My mom was here in town, so she was watching it with me, and she was talking about her recollections of those moments. And it was something.
And the things you remember are the bad things.
Right, of course.
But as it starts pre-ignition with like 5 seconds before, and you start seeing the spark, I kind of clenched up.
Yeah.
And I want to see this thing get off the pad and get going. And it was, you know, but like I said, for a bigger moment, I think for just a tiny moment in time, the vast majority of people in this country were sitting there pulling for that rocket.
I agree.
The pad,
I agree.
And to get into outer space and then
very cool.
fly around the moon. And good Lord willing, all of us will be here in a couple of years when they send another mission to the moon, which... I guess that was the tie for me. I vividly remember watching that on television.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it was legit.
And it's cool to know that potentially a whole nother generation is going to have those type of memories.
Because they didn't yeah. experience
right.
it before.
Exactly. I didn't.
Yeah.
Not in real time.
I mean,
you know, I've seen stuff from it, but so that's cool.
You know, Neil Armstrong kind of botched his line when he stepped off the lunar
right.
lander. He was supposed to say one small step for a man,
yeah,
one giant leap for mankind, and he leaves out the A. But it became actually more iconic
yeah.
as one small step for man being
Human.
Yes.
Can you imagine the astronaut who's going to go on this mission in a couple years trying to figure out what their line is going to be? Yeah, that's going to be hard.
You know, in today's world, it'll probably be something like, you know, but when I step on the moon.
Like and subscribe.
Yeah.
Everybody watching on the live stream.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. You know, that Arby's quarter pounder. That's what I eat before every moon mission.
But, you that's know, pretty funny.
If you think about it, that's the way the government could fund the thing.
Hey.
I would not be opposed to seeing decals on the astronauts.
Yeah. Paint the rocket to look like a stock car. That
there
would be
you
great.
Go.
Napa.
Yeah.
Napa would work really well stacked, too.
It would. Yeah.
You know, that's awesome. I love that.
I'm all for that.
I think that's I need good to. Stuff. I think I need to jot a note to my senator. Figure out how to fund the space program.
Let's do it.
Let's go. Let's launch early. All right.
We digress.
We just used up a whole segment on NASA, and it was well worth it. When we come back, best all around in the first seven races. We'll break that down for you.
Listen, were you forced into getting a solar contract and now you just don't want it anymore? Maybe the solar company misled you. Or is your solar contract buried with hidden fees? Are you not saving the amount of money you thought you would on your energy costs? Don't worry. At the Solar Exit Hotline, we can help you cancel your solar contract, even if the panels are already installed. Our experienced legal team will review your contract and help you cancel it, possibly saving you thousands of dollars. You got to call right now for complete details. So listen, if you're not happy with your solar contract for any reason, we are here to help you cancel it. Call the Solar Exit Hotline now for immediate options to help you exit your solar contract. This call is 100% free.
800-471-3491. 800-471-3491. 800-471-3491. That's 800-471-3491.
This is Chase Briscoe, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
The 30th anniversary of the Kyle Petty charity ride.
It's hard to believe that. I can't believe I'm like 39 and we've been doing this 30 years. The idea came about 2 o'clock in the morning. We were riding motorcycles to California and we had stopped and picked up a couple of guys in Oklahoma City, and then we picked up some people in Globe, Arizona, and we were riding in. It was late at night and it's like, oh my God, this would be so cool. We get people to give us 10 cents a mile. We'll ride. We'll do a bike-a-thon. And I just threw it out in the garage here. Dick Brooks rode with us that first year. Robert Yates rode with us. Cindy Sissoms rode with us. Man, we had so many people. They read about it and they called us up and said they wanted to go on a ride, and we were like, come on down. Had 10 Hall of Famers that have ridden with us through the years. It is like a traveling show for the NASCAR Hall of Fame to go across country sometime, but it has been really good. We heard of a couple of different hospitals and a couple of different kids that were race fans, and we were thought, hey, we'll just stop and make a donation to help their families pay their bills. And that's what we did. It's all for camp now. It's all for Victory Junction.
30th anniversary of the Kyle Petty Charity Ride. Way back in the day, whenever that was, high school yearbook staffs used to hand out awards at the end of the year. Our producer, David Stiles, won one. What did you win, David? What were you given in the yearbook?
I was best all around, year of 2009.
Best all around.
Wow, that's really good.
That's impressive.
That's best all around. That doesn't leave much to play with.
Yeah.
Brad, I don't know that we're going to give out a best all around. I'm still impressed.
I'm not. I don't think I got any support. Like, I don't think I was picked for anything. No.
Our high school didn't do that.
If I got one, it was least likely to
right.
get something right in right. the rest
least
of your life.
Least likely to be best all around. Yeah.
Yes, you're condemned to a life of never being best all around. Let's give out a couple right now. We're seven races into the Cup season. Brad, we'll start with you. Most improved.
Austin Cindric.
Austin Cindric had a little bit of a slow start to the season, but you could see why. You know, he had wrecks at Daytona and Echo Park Speedway. Las Vegas Motor Speedway, they were running well into the top 10 before he was actually on pit road when the only natural caution of the race came out. He ended up losing a lap, having to take the wave around. But since then, he's been cranking out single-digit finishes. Hands down for me, it's Austin Cindric.
Well, most improved.
Hands down for me, it's Ty Gibbs. I mean, when you look at, he opened up Daytona, he had a finish of 23rd, Atlanta 37th. You were like, oh man, here we go again with Ty Gibbs. Do you want to know what his finishes have been since Atlanta? Fourth, fifth, sixth, and fourth. I mean, this guy has had top six finishes in the last five races, which is very unlike the Ty Gibbs that we have come to know over the past few years. So I would say, no doubt, Ty Gibbs is the most improved.
Driver that has a win in his career, but most likely not to add to that total this year.
Oh, you go first, Brad.
Michael McDowell.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
That is a good one.
I'll give you one, but I think it's kind of a cheat. While you're thinking of yours, Daniel
Suarez.
I know
exactly where you're going.
No, I was going to. I went Daniel Suarez.
Oh, I was going to say him also.
Yeah.
Because Spire has started the season in a great way.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's short-lived.
You know.
Say it.
Well, I'm just looking down the list here. Has a win to their name but won't get one this year.
Yes.
A.J. Allmendinger.
Ooh.
Yeah, you look at A.J. and you think about, you know, where colleague is and they, I think they've got some much needed improvement that needs to happen over there at that team, especially in the Cup Series without support that they've had years prior from the manufacturer. So I'm going to go with that.
AJ Allmendinger.
Doug, you know who I'm surprised you didn't pick, right?
Kyle Busch?
Yes.
Yes, yeah. that's a good point. Yeah.
I almost feel like I'm beating up on him.
Well,
or is that low hanging fruit?
I mean, it really is. It's just, Is Brad Keselowski in that category?
You know, I looked at Brad.
He's going to win. Is that what you're thinking, Brad?
Yep. Could be this weekend.
Wow. At Bristol.
Could be.
Yeah.
His Gen 7 record at Bristol is pretty strong.
I think he's got a lot better opportunity than Kyle Busch. Things have dissolved, it feels like, at Childress. If half of what you hear coming out of there is true, then they're in. They're in, nuclear
meltdown.
They do need help. Yeah, and I'm not sure Cletus is going to be the help that they need, but, you know.
You know, hey, look over here.
Yeah.
Look.
I mean, you're right.
We got a media star. Look.
Yeah. We won the O'Reilly Championship last year.
Yeah. Our guy finished fourth in the ARCA race, even though that's not their car, but still.
Sure.
That could be a little bit of that shell game.
Sure.
All right. Driver most likely to catch Tyler Reddick in win total.
Oh.
Or is there one?
Denny Hamlin.
I was thinking the same, but to be different, I'll take Ryan Blaney.
Yeah. I wouldn't disagree with that either.
I think it may be in that order. Denny Hamlin, who I could see Denny going on a tear.
I could too.
And to echo Brad's sentiments about Brad Keselowski, could start this weekend.
Could be.
We're going into fat Denny Hamlin territory, are we not, Brad?
Yeah, we are. Two wins in this car, and let's not forget 2004 was the first race where we saw wait a second, why won't these tires run more than 40 laps?
Yeah.
Hamlin won that one in such an impressive way. It literally his racing IQ that afternoon for me, and I was covering him on pit road, was just off the charts in the way he managed his car.
Driver most likely to be in a different ride next year. And we're going to leave Alex Bowman out of this because the poor guy's.
Yeah. I mean, his name is the first one that came to mind.
But we're going to leave him out because of mitigating circumstances.
All right.
I'm just too nice of a person.
Who goes first?
You.
Kyle Busch.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no way he's back at Childress next year.
On either side. Both Kyle's and RCR's, how can you keep doing the same thing and expect something different to happen?
Yeah.
Yep. And I don't know if you're Childress, how can you roll him out, even though he's got one of the best resumes ever and ask a company to pony up $8, $9, $10 million.
Now, is this driver most likely to be in another ride or just out of their ride? Because I could see.
Alexis is putting someone in the unemployment line. Here we go.
I love this.
Look, Doug lives for this.
I think you guys might agree potentially. I think it could be Brad Keselowski's last year. I think when you look at what's going on over at RFK with charters and not having, you know, potentially having enough for next season, I think you could see him step down and just go in straight into the ownership role.
Never thought of that. I was kind of hoping you were just going to boot somebody to the curb.
Yeah. Well, you know.
That's really what I was pulling for.
You go ahead and do that.
No, I'm not, you know, it would have been more fun if you'd have done it. But you know what? I would not be, what is it people say? What do the kids say? I wouldn't be mad about that.
You wouldn't be mad about it?
I wouldn't be mad about it.
I mean, I think Brad in a solely ownership role, I think he would do really good at that. Knowing him and knowing his personality, I think once he steps out of the car and goes straight into that, you know, ownership only mode, I think that will suit him. I mean, obviously he is a Hall of Famer, championship driver, all of those things, and he has the right to go out on his own terms, which I believe he will do. But potentially just, you know, reading some things about they're not, you know, potentially having the opportunity to get that charter, because I think, what is it, one of them they're leasing right now and the lease is up at the end of this year?
Yeah, so for the last two seasons now, they've leased a charter from Rick Ware Racing. They leased, you know, what was, let's call it the 15 charter 1 year, and now they've leased the 51 charter. But the problem is Rick Ware has two charters. One of them has already been sold to Legacy Motor Club, and Legacy can't run it until next year. So that's going to leave Rick Ware with one charter. They can't lease the same charter again to RFK Racing. And is Rick Ware ready to shutter their operation to sell a charter to RFK? Don't know.
So all of those things being considered, you know, there is a possibility that he might step out of his ride to put somebody else in.
I could see that. But I would like to see Brad win a couple of races this year.
Sure.
Because that way you can step away from this game saying, I was good till the very end.
And that doesn't happen often. Very rarely.
With the really good drivers, it almost never happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this goes way back in time. This goes back to Darrell Waltrip floundering at the end of his career, and Richard Petty, and dare I say, Jimmy Johnson.
Yep.
Jimmy Johnson went 3+ seasons and didn't win. One last thing before we jump over into Green Flag, Black Flag. When does Kyle Larson win? Brad Gilley?
Sunday?
Yeah.
Wait.
Do you say that with real conviction?
But who do you got? Because you already said Brad's going to win, didn't you? Now Kyle Larson's going to win. Co-owners? Denny's going to win. Which one?
Yeah, Eric Jones.
Brad's default answer. For everything.
Well, if you pick everyone, one of them is certainly bound to come up correct.
Hey, look, Larson's won two of the last three at Bristol, and it's just time.
I think so. I'm not sure that it happens this weekend, but I would not be surprised if it did.
We're ticking closely to the 1 year anniversary.
Oh.
Do you have on your wall at home, do you have just like a chart of all the drivers and how many days it has been since their last race?
You know, there's a thing called the doomsday clock.
Right, that's what it is.
That they keep track of until there's Armageddon. That's what I track on drivers.
I can see it.
When do you stop winning?
Yeah. He is a DEFCON 1 right now as far as going here without a win. All right. Thanks a lot for tuning in to Fast Talk. Back with more.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
Fireworks!
sparks in the air here at Nashville Super Speedway.
Reddick and Bell locked together door to door as they head into three. Nobody giving an inch there.
Start your engines as the Cracker Barrel 400 NASCAR triple header this May 29th through the 31st storms into Nashville Super Speedway, where horsepower meets Music City rhythm. 3 days, three races. It's a high-speed honky-tonk under the lights all weekend long. Get your tickets at NashvilleSuperSpeedway.com or call 866-RACETICKS today.
This is Ross Chastain, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Do you have diabetes? I'm sure you've seen the television commercials on the new CGM devices from all the top brands and how well they can help you manage your diabetes. Do you have the latest and newest in diabetes technology? The Diabetes Solutions Center carries most of the top brands. And the great news is, your insurance may cover most of the cost. Call our special CGM hotline today, and our friendly representatives will help see if you qualify. You could get a new CGM from the top brands at little or no cost to you. Make living with diabetes easier. You are just one free phone call away to learn if your insurance covers the cost. So make this free call today to the Diabetes Solutions Center and learn for free how to get your new continuous glucose monitor.
800-396-0150, 800-396-0150, 800-396-0150. That's 800-396-0150.
Thanks a lot. Breaking down things from Rockingham, which we have done. Looking forward to Bristol. At this time of year in North Carolina, it is the season of the pollening.
So you know what? You know how people say the Great White North?
Yeah.
I think of the Great Yellow South. Oh. Because my goodness, it is rough.
It is amazing there. It is incredible.
You can go out on any flat surface outside right now and write your name in the pollen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And every car in the parking lot.
And it's all consuming. So, mm-hmm. You know, if I was an investor, I would buy Allerest right now. Because at least for the next month, it is going to be the hottest item. All right, let's turn the control of the show over now to David Stiles.
It's time for another edition of Green Flag, Black Flag.
All right, here we go. It's PRN's favorite NASCAR game show, where our fabulous riders who are coming off of a chocolate bunny haze have provided us with some great statements. Our panel will mull them over. They will either agree with it and give it a green flag, or they will disagree with it and give it a black flag. And they will hear this. All right, we will start with Alexis Erickson, alphabetical order today. The O'Reilly Auto Parts series will have 5 first-time winners this season. We have 2 already.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm going to say green flag on that. You know, that we already talked about it. That series, I think, is stacked with the talent that we're going to see coming up through the ranks and the future of our sport and the Cup Series. And so, yeah, absolutely.
Brad Gilley?
Green flag. Brent Cruz will win. Rajah Caruth will make his first trip to victory lane. And Corey Day will do it as well and join William Sawalich and Sheldon Creed.
All right, Doug?
I'm just going to draft off of Brad Gilley there because that's really good. And by the way, it made me feel good to see Sheldon Creed, after all of the misery that he has gone through, finally get a W earlier this season. But yeah, I agree. I think that's very likely.
All right, Brad. Rockingham doesn't need a cup race.
Green flag. Do not touch the magic that has been created with an Easter weekend at Rockingham Speedway. Let's let the future stars of our sport shine. Let's keep the energy. Let's keep the vibe. Cup Series does not need to be there.
Doug Rice?
Green flag, absolutely. NASCAR got around the conundrum of having an open weekend. They tried Easter weekend at Bristol a couple of times. It just didn't feel right. A lot of the racing community didn't enjoy that. And this was a perfect solution. Friday, Saturday of Easter weekend, and give a showcase to the trucks and the O'Reilly Auto Parts Series at a cool racetrack. Leave it alone. Doesn't need a cup race. This was one time that the The solution to a problem was perfect.
Alexis, are we two for two on all agreements?
Yeah, here? I think so. We're gonna get a green flag for all the reasons that Brad and Doug said. You know, it's nice when we can shine a spotlight on the lower level series because we don't get to do that very much.
All right, I'm glad this one goes to Doug first. Did Cletus McFarland show us enough to earn a slot in Talladega?
No. And I'm not anti-Cletus. I just don't think it's there. Let's let this cake bake a little bit longer before we throw him out there on Talladega. He had a rough go at Daytona in the trucks. Let's let him cook a little while longer.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Doug, and I'm going to say Black Flag, I guess. But I'm also going to say I do think NASCAR lets him. I do think he – I do – like, I'm not sure he should, but I think he will get to run Talladega.
Brad? Gosh, I wish I could give both, but I'm going to say Black Flag. No, I don't think this opens the door. And if he's going to run Talladega, I think there are a very choice amount of spotters that I would say that should be conditional upon to help him make sure he doesn't try and run up in the top five on lap 15.
That's a good point.
All right, final one. Since we had our first moon launching in over 50 years, Alexis, if you were given the chance to go into space, would you?
Yes.
Ooh.
How could you say no to that? I mean, that's an experience that very, very, very few people get to have.
Brad?
Green flag. Heck yeah, man. That would be amazing.
Doug, I know you would probably go, right?
Oh, green flag.
Go for launch.
But I would not be like Katy Perry after she went up and spent 60 seconds in space and come back and proclaim myself an astronaut.
Yeah, certainly
I want to really go in space.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
yeah.
Cool,
I
want to
orbit.
Cool thing about one of the mission specialists.
Yeah, orbit's got to be the priority.
On this Artemis trip, she is from Jackson, North Carolina.
Yeah, went to NC State.
Yep.
Yeah.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. Christina Koch.
Yeah, these folks trained for a long time.
They did.
It's not a PR stunt.
No, it's not. They didn't throw money at it.
And they really went to space.
They're really there right now. They are really there right now.
They didn't just go up, I could see my house from here.
Right.
And then come back.
Look at it. They didn't go up and look at it all from the lens of their iPhone either, you know?
Yeah. Big difference. All right, when we come back, one last thing.
What makes Toyota Racing Toyota Racing? It's not just how we drive, it's why we drive. Bubba Wallace drives with resilience, building himself back up with a Toyota team that never lets him stay down. Jade Avedisian drives with determination to be faster, sharper, every lap, every day. Christopher Bell drives with inspiration, because when talent meets the perfect team, you don't just win, you inspire what comes next. Toyota Racing, your race, your story. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
Whether your engine runs daily or only when you need it, Z-Max Micro Lubricant is the force you need against carbon buildup that can damage your engine. Combustion causes carbon and other harmful deposits to build up in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. And carbon is like sandpaper, rubbing against your engine's internal parts. You don't want that. You want Z-Max Micro Lubricant. It soaks into metal and keeps your vehicle running at peak performance. Find out more at ZMAX.com or visit us on Facebook and X. Protect your engine to the max with Z-Max.
I'm Chase Elliott, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
It's hard to believe in this day and age in the United States of America that children are hungry.
Our time on this planet is short. We have to give back to those in need.
Every child has a chance, no matter what obstacles they may encounter.
Never have we been taxed more as a society to help kids the way we are right now.
At Speedway Children's Charities,
our mission is simple.
Help every child we can.
Because all children
deserve joy
and hope
and love.
I'm PRN's Doug Turnbull, co-host of the 5 to Go podcast, a weekly deep dive into five motorsports issues. Devin Kupka gives the Gen Z view.
One thing that I've never seen before, when the cars got four wide, everybody stood up cheering.
And championship-winning mechanic Dan Elliott leans on his decades in the garage and promoting.
Unless everybody is aware of the rules, then no, it's not fair for everyone.
Listen to the 5 to Go podcast on GoPRN.com and subscribe on Apple and Spotify.
Well, this has been a fun show, and as I say often, we sometimes take the long way home. And I think we went over the river and through the woods today on this show, and that's okay.
Did we super tramp through those woods?
Yes, we super tramped through. Ooh, Brad, that's
You're
a
welcome three-pointer.
Thank you. Thank you. That was awesome. That was fantastic. All right, what is it time for? It is time for one last thing.
As David shouts, I don't know.
David's flying solo. Give him a break.
Yeah, there is. There's usually two people
awesome.
Behind the glass.
We love you, David.
And all we hear is a muffled cry of David. I don't know. That is precious.
All right. You know what? It's fine. We don't need the intro. Brad, go ahead.
Oh, me first. What? One last thing. By the way, this is not the first off weekend for NASCAR in 2026. We actually get another one the first weekend of August after the Brickyard weekend. That off weekend, all three series will be off. And as much as I would love to see this sport run 52 weeks a year, maybe we don't race Christmas. I'm kind of good with it. It was nice to have a nice long Easter weekend.
Awesome. I wanted to cue everybody in if they didn't hear this past weekend on the broadcast from Rockingham. There's a lot of money that could be given out this weekend at Bristol. Not only the purses, obviously, for all three races, but in the truck series, Corey Heim has the possibility in the Triple Truck Challenge to win $500,000, which is not chump change. And then you also have the Dash for Cash returning, where the top four finishers from Rockingham and the O'Reilly series get to go head-to-head, and whoever finishes highest gets $100,000. So there's a lot of dough that's going to be given out this weekend at Bristol. Lots of reasons to tune in, but that's a pretty good one, too.
Yeah, that's mucho dinero. You know, it's funny. You say certain words, and they trigger things in your brain. And when you say money, I get the OJ song. Boom, 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 boom.
I got to leave you hanging on that
one.
Yeah,
come on.
I got nothing, man.
Come on. Anyway, I didn't go Pink Floyd because I can't make the sound of the cash register. My one last thing, and I'm stealing this from Alexis. It was her backup one
last thing. It was, because I didn't know where Brad was going to go.
So I'm ripping you off, Alexis. There's a facility located next to Charlotte Motor Speedway called 10 Tents Motor Club. It is a facility that's a road course that's laid out. It's mostly for private use of exotics and things of that nature. It's kind of like VIR. And they are having a huge event there this weekend in conjunction with the auto fair at Charlotte Motor Speedway. It's called the Heritage Invitational. And on Friday, and Ray Evernham's the executive director of all this, they are going to have original IROC cars there at 4:00 Friday with an all-star, it's actually a Hall of Fame lineup of drivers. Jeff Gordon, Bobby Labonte, Kurt Busch, Mark Martin, all those cats are in the Hall of Fame. Ken Schrader's going to be there, Scott Pruitt, Tom Dreese. I'm sure I've missed a couple, but they are going to be in the original IROC cars, turning laps, and these exhibition races, I've watched a couple of them, they're fun because they swap the lead and they have a lot of fun. They're not going to ding up these race cars, but it is, if you are in the vicinity of Charlotte Motor Speedway Friday and you want to be entertained and you want to see some of maybe your favorites from the past back out on the racetrack, that's going to be the place to be. They're also going to have a lot of vintage Indy cars there. And on Saturday, it is a car show with some wonderful exotic cars.
I love it.
I think it's going to be amazing. You're planning to attend.
I'm going to go Friday, and I don't have to work. I'm just going to sit there and eat shrimp and watch the cars go around.
Watch the beautiful cars.
And have a big time, and it should be a lot of fun. This is an event that speaks to people of my generation and folks that love nostalgia. And I love the IROC series back when it raced. I love seeing A.J. Foyt and Little Al run against Earnhardt and Rusty Wallace.
I was just looking at the website because they have so many different things that are happening this weekend. And they're also having a celebrity pro-am race, which is happening on the 10th. And that's got Joey Logano in it, three-time NASCAR champion. Joey Logano, Kurt Busch, Boris Said, Bobby Labonte, Mark Martin. I mean, it's going to be a good time.
It'll be a lot. All right, guys, let's quickly go around. Brad, we're going to let you go first. Narrow down who's going to win Bristol.
Chase Elliott. I did that for Alexis' benefit to pick like my fifth driver.
All right.
Okay, that was not one he had mentioned before.
Not on my bingo card for Brad to go chase Elliott there.
My gut's telling me Denny. My gut's telling me Denny.
Denny Hamlin wins it. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Navigational beacons and buoys. Stay
Fast
between
Talk
them.
Was presented by Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. Be part of the action at ToyotaRacingUSA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.